I told us that we have to keep in mind the things that we have studied about, because we are going to try to reconcile them under this topic, the view of Jesus. So, the view of the Bible. So we have a lot of text to read, and so I want us to be very, very active because our time is very, very short. So without further waste of our time, our topic is view of the Bible. So let's repeat that together. I want to go. Welcome. View of the Bible. Let's repeat. View of the Bible. Again, our text is quite long. You can see the list, but our memory verse is Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, which says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So let's repeat that together. One, two, go. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Again, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Praise God. My introduction says, some people think that the Bible is communicated over the years via a primitive gossip chain, which lost or distorted much of the original meaning. That is not true. The reliability of the Bible far surpasses that of most other ancient documents, which are virtually undisputed by scholars. Although written by men, the Bible is not just people speaking for God. It is God speaking for himself through people. God is ultimately the author. Hence, we can rely on the testimony of the Bible. It's authentic, inspired, and without error. Apart from archaeological discoveries and the unified nature of the Bible, which attests to the authenticity of the Bible, one of its most convincing proofs is the number of fulfilled prophecies. Another is the testimony of changed lives. Nobody can argue against the evidence of a changed and dynamic life. Praise God. The study value says, today's study considers, one, the Bible's own claims as God's inspired word, inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Number two, the literary, historical, and prophetic evidence for the Bible's authenticity. The greatest evidence of the Bible's power and authority, changed life. Praise God. So we go straight to our question. Question number one, nature of the Bible. So let us read 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 2. Very quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 2. Let's all open, even if somebody else is reading. So I read from here. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord speak by me, and his word was on my tongue." So let us pay close attention to that. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord speak by me." Not that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to people, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. So though it was this person that was speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking by him, and it was his word that was on that person's tongue. So this is telling us a lot about the Bible that we have today. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Take another notice of that. "Behold, I have put my own words into your own mouth." So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. If you are there, read. Very quickly, I want us to be very fast. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Praise God.
Please direct all your visitors to us as I am.
Okay.
Direct your visitors to us. Thank you.
So the question now is, what testimony did these human authors bear about what they wrote? Okay, so we've heard about everything that with that these people said. So what testimony they bear about what they wrote?
Yes, can you help us? Okay. That's not the testimony. Okay, can you tell us your own view of that?
Okay, the word of God stands firm. Other things may wither, but the word of God is forever, okay?
No idea. Can you help us?
No idea. I want us to have idea. You see, the two ladies spoke and the two of you are not speaking. That speaks very bad about you. Probably you aren't following. Can I help us?
No.
Okay. So we see very clearly that though people spoke, it was God that was speaking to them. So the Bible we have here is written by men. And you have to understand that it's not as if God cannot write. There are evidences that God wrote. The person who wrote the Ten Commandments was God. God wrote the Ten Commandments twice. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ wrote with his hand on the ground. And there are many other indications that God writes. If you read the book of Psalms, you see where the Bible says that, and talking about the book of God, like when he talks about his tears, say, are they not in thy book? So God does write, but he didn't write the things that we have now. But it doesn't mean that he's not the one, he's not the author of these things. So though men wrote it down, it is still the word of God. And so when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about the direct word of God. It's not about God speaking to you and then use your wisdom to write it down. God is writing through you. So we have to understand that. And also the last part we read talks about that word enduring forever. So it's not something, like if you read some of our scholastic writers, the writings of some of our scholastic authors, they'll tell you that the Bible was, especially the book of Genesis down to Exodus, that they are written by, that there were things that were passed down from Adam down to Moses by word of mouth. But that is not true. Because if you are saying that it's because of Adam, that is the record of Adam. How about the creation? Adam was not in existence then. Then whose record was that? So we can see clearly that everything that we see in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a product of God's revelation and not man's wisdom. So let us have that at the back of our mind. Number two question says that read 2 Timothy. So let us open there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. If you are there, please read. Okay, praise God. Let us read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. Okay, you're welcome. So the question now is, what do you think it means to say that the Bible is inspired? So according to what we've read now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 tells us that all scripture is inspired. So what does it mean when we say the Bible is inspired? Yes. Okay, God giving some guys to write inspiration to write the Bible. Okay, can you help us?
Okay.
God telling them the exact details. Yes, I like that, exact details of how things happen and what to write. Okay. Okay, yes, not by their interpretation. All right,
yes,
can you give us an answer to that?
No, yes,
okay, you weren't here that time. Okay, you're welcome. Please bring your chair here. All right, so
yes, ma'am. Any?
Okay, so it says, what do you think it means to say the Bible is inspired? To be inspired means to be giving life. So just like a human being, without life you are dead. That is how the Bible is. They are just letters. They are just mere alphabet. Words that are made out of the English alphabet. But God gives them life. So that's what we have to understand. So imagine now somebody tells you, maybe one of these senators, they tell you that they are bodyguard, they have a bodyguard, but the bodyguard is dead. What's the use of it to them? So that is how it is also when you have the Bible, when you have just letters without the Spirit of God. So it is God that gives meaning to the Bible. Wisdom of the writers and also the details of what to write was given to them by God. And not only was it given to them, even the ability to write it was also given to them. So everything apart from the instruments, which are the people, everything belongs to God and was inspired by God. Now I want us to understand something here in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. If you read before this time, okay, let me start from verse 18. It says, and this voice, this is Peter speaking, talking about his experience, their experience when they were with Jesus Christ, when they went to the Mount of the Transfiguration. He said, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So what this tells us is that there are many things, there are many mediums that God speaks to man. God can speak to you by revelation, by trance, by sermons, by many ways. But the surest word is that, the surest way that God speaks to you is through his written word. That's why he says that we have, imagine what Peter is saying here. They were with Jesus Christ. They saw him transfigured. They saw Moses. They saw Elijah. They saw him in his glory. And they heard the very voice of God saying, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. But still, despite this, they didn't consider this a surer word. They didn't consider it a more assured evidence that this is God's word than the word of prophecy. That is to tell you that you as a person, God can speak to you through many ways, whether by dream, trance, direct speaking to you through sermons or so on, but you must make sure that you have no other book, no other way that God speaks to you more directly than the Bible. So you must bring those things, whatever revelation you think you have, and see whether they agree with the word of God. And that is how you can know whether or not that they are the word of God. It says in verse 20, it says, know this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So they didn't, though God spoke to them, they didn't interpret it to you. They gave it to you verbatim as God gave it to them. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Like today now, we have many modern translations that people just decided, if you read the introduction, like I think the NIV or so, some clergymen just came together and said, we think the time is right for us to have a new Bible. And they got together and brought about the NIV. But we are told here that the true word of God, that which is the word of God, did not come about by the will of man. People don't just come together and say, well, we need something to guide us. We need a rule. We need something to bind us. But he says that, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So everything written in the Bible is inspired by him, and God moved them through His Spirit to write what we have today. And also the advice we're giving here is that whereunto ye do well, that you take heed. So that is what the advice that God is giving unto us, that you take heed to the words of this Bible, because of, it says that, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So this is the source of your salvation. You have to take heed to it so that it can guide you in the way that God wants you to go. So it is also, when it says that the Bible is inspired by God, it also means that it is the only source of understanding, of true understanding. Let us read Job chapter 32 verse 8. Job 32 verse 8. It says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So, you see, it is the inspiration of God that gives us understanding. And because this Bible is inspired by God, there is no other source of true understanding than the Bible. You can have understanding by your tradition. Probably you should kneel down or prostrate before an elderly person. That is an understanding, but it's not necessarily true. You can have understanding in your schools. You can have understanding in anywhere you find yourself in the society. But true understanding comes only by the word of God. And that's why the psalmist says, the entrance of your word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. Are you with us? You can sit down. Giveth understanding to the simple. So the Bible is inspired by God, and thus it is the source of true understanding. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. It says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. This is what I told us earlier, that the Bible without the Spirit of God is just letters. And so it is even more dangerous than we think. For the letters are not just there idly, meaning that they cannot help you. But in fact, the letter killeth. But we are told here that the Spirit giveth life. Let us read John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So this word is not just an idle word. It's not a novel. It's not a little piece of literature. It is life. It is spirit. It is able to impart a new life into you. And that is why Jesus Christ said that they are spirit and they are life. So going back to also what you said, that it is the surest word of, it is the Bible is a surer evidence of God's word. Even Jesus Christ, when he was tempted, did not talk about the revelations he had when he was baptized, about the dove coming upon him. Did not talk about any of the spiritual experiences he had, but he made no other reference than to the Bible. It says it is written. So that which is written is our surest word of evidence that God is speaking. So let us be very careful that no matter what we have, whether by sermon, no matter what message we get, whether by sermons, by revelation, by trance, or so on, we should always compare them with scriptures, because the devil can tell us lies through sermons, through messages, through any other. Can't we adjust? I think we adjust. You can join them. Okay, please just try and endure. So, Jesus Christ himself recognized the absolute and final authority of the scriptures, and that is why he could make reference to the Bible saying it is written. So, we should treasure the Bible and recognize the authority that God has placed upon his word. The note here says, the Bible is unified. Its harmony is not mere coincidence, but a strong evidence for divine inspiration. So we are now going to talk about the harmony of the scriptures, and also why it is a strong, why it's this, unified nature of the Bible is an evidence of divine inspiration. So let us read Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. Isaiah 40 verse 3. It says, "The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Please take note of that, from of old, from everlasting. Luke chapter 2 verse 27 to 32. It says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Next is John chapter 1 verse 29. John chapter 1 verse 29. It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and seeth, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Okay? John chapter 5, the same John, chapter 5 verse 39. 5 verse 39, it says, "Search the scripture, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Verse 46 and verse 47, it says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Colossians 1 verse 25-27, it says that, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Revelations chapter 1. Verse 6 to 7. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 to 7. It says, "And hath made us priests and kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen." It says, what do these passages tell you concerning who and what the Bible is all about? So because of our time, we cannot take our opinions one after the other. But we see from Isaiah, even from the beginning of scriptures, that the Bible tells us that the central theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ came to the earth, it was foretelling that Jesus Christ is coming to the world to save us from our sins. Even from Genesis, where God told the serpent that you will bruise his heel, that is in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but he will crush thy head. That is the victory that Jesus Christ got over the devil. So you can see that from Genesis down to Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. So from Moses, Samuel, everybody kept talking about Jesus Christ before he came. So, and the moment he came and died, everybody that spoke in the Bible started referring back to him, to Jesus Christ. So the central theme of the Bible, the person that the Bible writes is all about, is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It says that what is the central message? The central message is that salvation has come to us through Him alone. Many people today, or some people today, will tell you all manner of claims that there are many ways to heaven, that you could go, any religion you believe in can lead you to heaven. But that is false, because it is either you believe that and reject Jesus Christ, or you accept Jesus Christ and reject all others. Because the Bible tells us clearly that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So it says also, neither is there salvation in any other. So Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It is not like people try to claim, that is a falsehood, to say that any religion you practice can take you to heaven. I tell you the truth, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It says, how relevant is that message to your life? I tell you, that is the most important thing. You're welcome. Good morning. That is the most important message you can ever have. You've had, probably will get many messages, or you have had many messages, and to, in your future, you probably will get many important messages. But the most important one is that you can now be saved. That the door to eternal life is now open, and Jesus Christ is that door. Jesus Christ is that way by which we must be saved. So let us know, the central theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. The central character of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And everybody, Moses and so on, testified of him, prophesied about him, and everybody that spoke after him referred back to him as the only source of life, salvation, and eternal life. B part says, the reliability of the Bible. It says that, how do we know that the books included in our Bibles are the ones that should be there? Yeah, okay. Hallelujah.
Open to the first book, of the first page of the Bible, where all the Bibles and all the books are listed. Don't have it. Where all the books of the Bible are listed. Quickly. Are you there? The question is,
the table of contents.
How do we know that the books included in our Bible are the ones that should be there, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. First of all, let's classify the Bible. Let me first of all ask this question. How many of us have read the Bible? What is the Bible? Okay, we talk about the Bible since. What is the Bible? Are you here? What is the Bible? The Word of God. So now, who can classify the Bible into three for me? Three words. Classify the Bible into three for me. Quickly.
The creation.
I don't want to hear the creation. I mean, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? If you guys notice, if you have read the Bible, there's a part of the Bible that was in, that God was directly involved, right? 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 There's another part of the Bible that Jesus Christ was directly involved, right? And there's another part of the Bible where the Holy Spirit was directly involved, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Another question is, the first five books of the Bible, right? What did they talk about? What did they talk about? What? The first five books talk about favor. What did they talk about? The first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. What did they talk about? What?
God revealing himself to Moses.
To only Moses.
Moses.
The first five books. Creation. The creation of man. Creation of this group. He healed all four of them with flood, created another set, and blah, blah, blah. Then Jacob came, covenant between. Do you know that those first five books, man, it all revolves the descendants of Abraham, right? covenants, that covenant that they had, covenant between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At that point, now, are we together? Now, see that we're talking about the children of Israel, right? First five books. Then, what's the next book after that? What's the next book? Joshua. You guys also know that Joshua is a person that did a lot of things, isn't it? Did a lot of things. So why would we think that the Bible would talk about those first five books, Joshua, Judges, First Kings, and all that? The Bible start talking about Psalms, start talking about prophets, then you go to the New Testament, start talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, First God. Why would you think the Bible would talk about things like that? A lot of characters, different characters, both good and bad, right? Victoria, pay attention. Victoria, both good and bad, isn't it? You can't just have a book just like that because you want to have a book, just the Bible. Do you understand? You can't just have it. Now, if you look at the children of Israel on their own like that, they are God's people, right? God's people. What? They were very stubborn, isn't it? They were very stubborn, right? But you know that some people that are maybe like Israelites. Do you know? And it's the same Bible that will help them overcome what the children of Israel failed to do at their own time. Are we together? So I'll ask this question again, and somebody must answer. How do we know that the books included in our Bible are the ones that should be there? Servants he used. So, do you guys know that Moses was buried by God? Do you know Moses was buried by God? As you mean, God allowed somebody else to bury Moses. Oh, what would have happened? Yes? No. One in case. They will worship him. They will use his place for, you know, Moses had, you know that brother, he was there. So they will worship him, they will make that his grave, his shrine. These books of the Bible are here so that we can see these people as servants of God, not God themselves. This book of the Bible are here so that we can learn from it. Are we together? These books of the Bible are here so that we can see the glory of God through the servants of God. And how we all came to this stage, this very stage here that we are in. Where the Bible was, where God directly was dealing with people. Then Jesus Christ came to deal with people. Then the Holy Spirit came to sum it all up. Are we together? If we do not understand why God was working with them and Jesus Christ came, then we would not understand why the Holy Spirit was with us today. Are we together? So in everything there is always a what? History. Right? Nigeria came to Nigeria. Nigeria was 100 years old, like 2014. But do you have any of us do history? I did history like for a year in school. Nobody will know about, you won't know about Nigeria because you were not there at the original state of Nigeria. But you have to understand the history to know where you are coming from, right? Right? So you have to understand the history of something to know where you're coming from. Eh? I'm from Abia State, from the village my father is. Originally, we're not from that village. That is my great-grandmother's village. Because something happened to her husband, and they pursued her, and this one... Do you understand what I'm saying? So you get why you're in this village and why you're associated to this village. Because there is a history, right? We are here. The people of when Jesus Christ came to this world that time, they had to understand that there was a Moses and all these people, and not before Jesus Christ came, there was a history. Jesus Christ came, he left, there was a history, and the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit is still with us. There are those people out there, but there is still what? A history. There is a history of how the Holy Spirit came to this world, right? So this is why these books are, so we understand where we are coming from and where we are going to. Are we together, Victoria? Are you hearing me? Did you hear me? Are you hearing me? What did I say? I've started again. What did I say? I want to hear you. Talk. Cut. You will stand up. What did I say? Answer me. What did I say? Do you want to stand up? What did I say? Stand up. What did I say? Stand up. Shut up. Why are seats? Two things will happen. It's either you say it or you stand up. What did I say? 1 minute. Say it in 1 minute. No, before it's not.
Please hurry up, our time is ticking out. Okay, just stand up so we can continue. Okay, so thank you very much for that contribution. I want us also to how we can know that also, the books included in the Bible are the ones that should be there, is that another way we can know is also talking about the unity of the ones that are there already. So we can see that there's also a chain of testimony which I would like to point out to us. First of all, we can be sure that God has spoken in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2. Please let's open. Let's not be distracted. Isaiah 1 verse 2 says, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." Then next also, God testified of Jesus. Let's read Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 35. Luke chapter 9 verse 5 says, "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him." So Jesus Christ, so God testified of Jesus Christ, meaning if you reject Jesus Christ, you have rejected God also. So there is this chain of authority there. In John 14 verse 24, let's read that. John 14 24. It says, "He that loveth me keepeth my say. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So the word of Jesus Christ is the word of God. Also, Jesus Christ testified of the disciples. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Luke chapter 10 verse 16. It says that he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. So Jesus Christ is here testifying of his disciples, meaning that if you do not hear his disciples, you have rejected him. So I'm trying to point out something to us. Now also, so Peter also, a disciple of Jesus Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ, testified of Paul. Let's read 2 Peter. Let's open 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. It says that, "And account the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do all other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So mark the fact that Peter describes the epistles of Paul as scriptures, and the Bible tells us that all scriptures is inspired by God. And lastly also, Jesus testified of Moses. Matthew chapter 5 verse 18. It says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one title shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So you can see the chain here. God testified of Jesus Christ, meaning if you don't hear Jesus Christ, you have rejected God. Jesus Christ testified of his disciples, meaning that if you don't hear his disciples, you have rejected both God and Jesus Christ. And Peter, an apostle, testified of Paul, meaning that if you reject Paul, you have rejected Jesus Christ, you have rejected God, you have rejected Peter. And Jesus Christ testified of Moses, and so on. Moses also testified of Jesus Christ. So you can see the chain there. So what that tells us, all the writers and the prophets testified of Jesus Christ. And also Jesus Christ testified of these other people who wrote this Bible. So I must tell you, just as we've made note, that there are other books also, historical, and also epistles in the New Testament that even claim to be part of the Bible. But these are not, because they do not fall into this chain of authority, they have been excluded. It's not as if they are completely bad. If you have access to some, you can read them or probably just go through them. But the one with authority of God, with the stamp of God upon it, is what we have in the Bible. And that is what explains it. God testified of Jesus, his disciples, Paul, and so on. And that is why the books that are there are actually stamped by God. God approves of them. So that's how we know clearly that our Bible is completely the word of God. There is no word of man in it. So it says that, read Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Let's try to take that before our time runs out. Matthew 5, 17 to 18. Okay. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 18. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one title shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Matthew 24, verse 34 to 35. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." To verse 1. To verse 5, okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by my gospel is preached unto you." So I tell you that the Bible is in complete agreement one with another. So I forgot to tell us this, that the Bible is unified in nature. You can see that the Bible was written over a period of over 2,000 years, from Moses down to John the Beloved. It was written over a period of 2,000 years. Yet you will find that they are all in agreement. There is no contradiction in the Bible. So what does this tell us? If I were to write something and you were to write something in this our age together, I tell you that there will be contradiction. Even if two architects were to write a book, there will be contradiction. But let us say even an architect and an engineer were to write a book, there will be for sure many contradictions. But you see people for 2,000 years and yet there is no contradiction. You see people of all classes. You see kings, you see prophets, you see fishermen, you see Pharisees, you see tax collectors, you see people from all fields, and they write one thing and there is no contradiction. That tells you that it is not them that are writing, but God writing to them, through them. So that is another evidence that the Bible is God's word. It says that here, the question here says, why is God's word the only standard for living? What adopting for your life? Because the word of God is eternal. Every other thing will be in vogue and then fade away. There was a pattern of life in the ancient time that seemed to be the standard. But after a while, people saw that it was no more useful. They put it aside. Another tradition will come, and tradition after tradition. That is why you as a person need to be careful what you base your life upon. Do not base your life upon popular opinion. Do not base your life upon human tradition. Maybe you are an Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, or so on. Do not base your life on anything, on any teaching of man, but on the word of God alone. Because this word of God will not change. It says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but even the word of God shall remain forever. It is true. It is eternal. It is the source of wisdom. It is the only book that is completely inspired from beginning to the end. By God himself, by the Spirit of God. It is the only book that has the stamp of God's express approval. So we should take note of that. Then number 7's question says, why are changed lives and personal experience the most convincing evidence of the truth of the word? Now, your life, this is where the responsibility falls upon you. You can authenticate the Bible, or you can present the authenticity of the Bible to the dying world through your life. I tell you, you can argue with almost anything, and a lot of people still argue with the Bible despite its accuracy. But when your life speaks of the truth of the Word of God, speaks of holiness, speaks of righteousness, speaks of love, speaks of tender-hearted kindness, and so on, and reflects the nature of God to humanity, they can hardly fight or wrestle against that. You can see that even Peter told us that people rest the word of Paul as they rest every other scripture. So people can wrestle with the Bible, but your life can make the authenticity of the Bible more clear. Because of our time is up already. We can't go any further. Any questions? Any contributions? So, okay.
Did you guys hear him? Huh? Were you guys hearing him? Because your faces don't look like you guys are paying attention. Did you hear what he said? A little. And you're writing. Why didn't you hear all? But then I always distracted. Again. Did you hear him? Were you listening to him? Why are you listening to him? Why are you listening to him throughout? Are you sure? Did you hear him? Were you paying attention? Why are you not listening to him?
Okay, so we already told that we should pray. So let's pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this message telling us about the nature of your word. Father, we thank you for all that you've helped us to study together. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We pray for the grace to make our own studies, personal studies, to understand more about your word, that you come and grant unto us in Jesus' name. We pray that you grant us understanding and revelational knowledge about yourself through your word in Jesus' name. As we continue today's service, continue with us and help us to... that all that we've learned today we'll put into practice in Jesus' name. Thank you because you've answered. In Jesus' name we've prayed.
Peter.